the hallmark of everything for anybody who has been abused or been through something, this is the hallmark for that. If you gain knowledge and you don't quit and you don't give up, them people will need you. They got to spend a block on you. So they 5 days, my grandfather on event. Nobody making no decisions. You know why? Because there's no knowledge. Where's your knowledge?
Yeah.
At that point, where's your knowledge? So now, guess who it is? Little grade F school. Long story short, I told him, put the consult in for the kidney doctor. Get him in there and do the dialysis. So then, this is the part. When I spoke to my aunt, she was like, oh my God, when I talked to everybody else, I just was laughing. Like, I can't believe you just told the doctor what to do. I said, no, I didn't tell him what to do. We had a conversation. It was a dialogue between two medical professionals.
Yeah. Y'all already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams, where I talk gray, where we talk about the gray areas of business because it's never just black and white. I have a lovely guest here today, Sonya Davis. How you doing?
What's up?
What? Oh, really? What's up with her? You looking good, girl.
Thank you.
How you doing today?
Marvelous.
Marvelous. I see. You came out with the money green.
Exactly. Ain't no other color, baby.
No other color. Yes. Let's talk that money.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was just doing my due diligence, right? So we're going to dive right into it. But hold on. But first, where are you from?
I'm from New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Louisiana.
Okay. So what brought you down here?
Traveling, nursing. Where it's like really a little part of everywhere because I ain't really have no stable place to stay.
Really?
Yeah. Just, I was homeless for a long time because my parents, I didn't live with. They had their own issues going on. So to keep me from being awarded to the state when I was young, my dad's mom and dad decided to take me. So they actually got me from the hospital when I was 3 days old.
Your grandparents?
Yep.
Okay. But hold on. So you said you was homeless. How does a person get to that point?
Because the grandmother that raised me and my daddy both died a month apart. So my daddy died first in December, and then my grandmother passed away in January. So we did two funerals, like, when I was 14, 1998, 99.
Man. So did that kind of, like, force you to grow up faster?
Yeah, like, ain't no other options but to do what you got to do to survive.
Yeah.
So.
So what age were you homeless?
I was 14.
14 homeless?
Yeah, because I'm 14 already. Who want a 14-year-old?
Yeah, you probably was bad too, right?
I was bad, of course. I ain't had no guidance. I stayed in the hood, low economic status area. So
this is in the hood in New Orleans or here?
No, in Louisiana.
In Louisiana.
Well,
okay.
Actually, it was this area called Bayou Goula and then White Castle. But then you know when life going and you drifting, you everywhere.
Yeah.
Because what I found out was that my mom's mom was also somebody that was drifting in New Orleans.
Drifting? What do you mean by drifting?
Like just moving around, just everywhere, no stable place.
Okay. Man, so how did you get to the, because I see here you got your degree. How did you get to that point?
Playing sports. So
really?
I ended up with a scholarship to play volleyball and basketball. So I started in Kansas, and then I transferred to St. Pete College. Then I went to Tampa, and then I went back to Louisiana.
Okay. Yeah, good.
So that's how I ended up in school overall as a good athlete.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you're kind of tall. You know, man. You look strong, too.
I'm strong.
Okay. All right, yeah.
Physically, that's what I'm saying.
Physically.
Yeah, because of conditioning.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be strong mentally, too, because I see here you got your major in psychology.
I do.
Wow.
I did. I got that from USF.
USF.
I actually graduated from USF with a 3.7. And I was nominated for a degree of distinction. And I did probably like 5 or 6 years of research there.
Okay. How them student loans looking?
Yeah, they pretty hefty. I ain't paid none of that. I ain't paid none of it.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Oh, man. You know, Sally Mae don't play.
Yeah, they don't play, but get what? Deferred.
Let's clap it up for that. Deferred.
Deferred.
So did you use your psychology degree like personally? Does it help you personally in any way?
I mean, I had to. Like, that mind is dangerous.
No, yeah.
I always tell people, listen,
don't never leave yourself with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Never. Because even in the psychology program,
mm-hmm.
I needed the professors. Like, because just to keep it G with you, like, at some point, you know, when I was trying to have a relationship with my biological mother,
uh-huh.
Her husband would abuse me or whatever. And then it was like, oh, you dumb, you stupid, and all these different kind of things, simply because of I went to a failing high school. Mm-hmm. I did. If you look it up, White Castle High was a grade F school in mm-hmm. 2003.
Okay.
So anybody who went to that school, it was likely that if you didn't play sports, they just had this stigma that you wasn't going to make it, period. Mm. And that's really not true.
Okay.
Because a lot of my skills as far as typing, writing, public speaking, I actually got from that school.
Wow. Okay.
Gamesmanship, sportsmanship.
Okay. Yeah,
you know, just being there and in that environment. So people say those things, and it's a part of the statistics. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's likely, but it's not a definite.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So what got you into the nursing?
So what happened with that was, you know how people be hating, like, I came back from college. You know how you be all zealous and they don't tell you everything?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the hidden curriculum type thing.
Okay.
So I created this plan, right? Because I really wanted to be a school psychologist.
Really?
So I was following a school psychologist at USF and everything, just trying to go back with a plan to help kids like myself.
Mm.
Like, no resources, no opportunity, teenage pregnancies, at risk for failing. Like, I came up with this. I presented it to the superintendent, and he put me on, like, $22 an hour.
Wow.
Fresh out of college.
Fresh out.
So what happened with that was, it's like, oh, it's Sonya? You know, like, because mm-hmm. they know me to get in a lot of trouble, too.
Uh-huh.
Like, a lot of fighting, and there's a lot of violence around you. I mean, if you don't have an outlet, or sports was my outlet.
So, okay.
So by playing sports, that take you other places, you meet other people, then you like, oh, I really don't have to act like this at this point, because, you know, it's so many other things that I'm involved in, and being a good athlete, it's like,
mm-hmm.
nah, I don't want to risk none of that. You feel what I'm saying?
All right.
But
so you had some sense.
Yeah. And then my high school coach, you know, sometimes your coaches be saving your life.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I went back to the school, I created this whole plan, and then it's like the teachers and the counselors, oh, well, what is she here for? Well, what's her job description? So I made a job description for them so they could stop asking those questions, but that just made it worse. It's like, oh, now she coming for us, and she, you know, these are the things internally. That's where the psych part come in at, like,
yeah.
Where they feel inferior when really we don't even have a degree in the same thing. I'm not here to take your position. You actually yeah. have a master's in either education or counseling. I have a bachelor's in arts and science and psych.
Okay.
But I don't even really think it was about the credentials at that point. It was like, oh, she determined. And then she's coming in with all these creative ideas and this and that. So I got a lot of backlash.
You're doing too much.
I was doing too much because he gave me freedom. So it's like, I think I was traveling to 7 schools in the district. And everybody that was at risk, I found out who those kids was.
Mm-hmm.
And if they needed help with any part of academics, I helped them. So if it was a girl that was pregnant, teenage pregnancies, if she needed outside resources besides what she wasn't getting,
mm-hmm.
or she couldn't talk to somebody, then I was that person.
Oh, okay. I like that. You giving back.
Yeah, that's how that went. And then when I start receiving resistance,
yeah,
then I went became a CNA.
Okay.
And then after being a CNA, I worked in the emergency room, and then I did a fast track program for nursing. So I actually graduated from there with a 3.97.
Okay.
So I got a 4-year degree in 14 months.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay, look yeah. at you. Go ahead, girl. So are you an LPN or RN?
Nah, I'm a RN with the big R, not the little one.
Okay.
Shout out to all the LPNs, but it's a trap. It's just a way to get money, basically. And then a lot mm-hmm. of times when I talk to certain nurses and I be trying to encourage them to go and get their RN, it's a fear thing. It's mm-hmm. like, let me see if I'm going to just be able to get the LPN before I go for the RN, because according to the Guinness Book World Records,
mm-hmm.
getting a bachelor's in science and nursing is the hardest degree.
Wow. Okay. Really?
It's because we have everybody role. We can do everybody role.
Oh, okay.
But everybody can't do our role.
You can do everybody's role.
Yeah, hint to all the people that can't do our role.
Okay. So you actually have your degree.
Yes.
It ain't like, you know, the women who, yo, what would make people do that?
Oh, yeah, the 7,000.
Like 7,000 or something 600. Like that. 7,600.
Exactly.
What would be the psychology behind that? Like, what would make a person go to that extent?
Well, did you see the money that was made? It was like $100 million.
To get the license? Oh, that's how much they made being a nurse.
That's how much Operation Nightingale made. So who all those background people are? That's the question.
Damn. Like, because I was looking at that. I was like, yo, what would make a person do all of that?
And then think about it. They're everywhere. Even though they came and received their degree here in Florida, these people have been dispersed everywhere. So it could be a fake nurse if, lo and behold, anybody that's in the hospital, they could be getting taken care of by a non-clinical medical professional. That's what it is.
Wow.
So they have no clinical background and they at the bedside pushing medications, don't know if they...
So how important is it to have emotional intelligence in this field?
Well, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like it could be a blessing and a curse at the same time, too. Because a lot of things you don't be want to feel sometimes emotionally and you be trying not to, it's like it just hits you.
Mm-hmm.
So then the type of person I am is like when I'm doing nursing, I just want to do nursing. I really don't want to have a lot of emotions, but I do for people. Because when you see some of the stuff and you have to hear some of those stories, you know, it's like that's when you realize you're human. Like, it ain't no, oh, I'm hard and I'm this and I'm that. Because some of that stuff will just break you down, like, literally. So the emotional intelligence part is like, it's got to be at its all-time high at the bedside for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, other professions, it's a little different. Specialty units, they have a little more freedom because it's specialty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But being at the bedside, baby, that's the trenches.
Trenches. So what are the different levels are there when it comes to nursing?
Well, you can actually be an LPN. You can have an associate's, like, two years. You can still practice. Now that there's such demand since COVID for nurses, then they're basically taking everybody. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But then they have BSN. And then you can do master's or you could do PhD. So it can either be our MP, clinical, or clinics. Like, it's different. So if you did hospital, that's acute. So that means you have to learn everything like the doctor, basically. Okay. But we already know it because we were the doctors.
Yeah.
Not trying to take away.
No.
I don't work with some good doctors before, but I'm just saying, once you learn that doctor, you know everything that they want for whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
Because, for example, if a person come in with acute pancreatitis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, in a nutshell, the pancreas is inflamed. We already know. Flu is pain medicine, nothing in the mouth. So even if they come up and they didn't put the order in, we know to do that because we know the goal. For the therapeuticness to happen and for this person to heal, the gut must rest. The stomach must rest so they can't put nothing in their mouth. So if the order not there, we gonna put it in. Even though it's for the doctor to do, we gonna do it because we want the patient to get better. We know that if they put something there, it's just gonna aggravate it more, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the clinical part that the fake nurses don't have.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, they'll feed the patient because they don't know.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on, like, the whole pharmaceutical route, like, when it comes to the benefits and things like that?
I'm really not a medicine person. I know it's sad to say. Like, it bothers me sometimes, but then it's like I'm fighting a losing battle when I'm working in a hospital as a nurse.
Yeah.
But one of the roles as a nurse is to educate. Mm-hmm. So, and be the patient's advocate. So I can still advocate things for them, but then still let them know, since you're in this state, you have to continue this regimen.
Mm.
And then I don't take away the knowledge for certain medicine. Like, if a person got a bad infection, thank God that somebody was able to create antibiotics for you.
Because
you would die, basically.
Yeah.
But to have them taking, like, bunch of medications and seeing all these different people, I'm not for. I'm more for, like, preventative.
Oh, okay. So what are your thoughts on, like, the holistic approach?
I'm for the holistic.
Okay.
But you have to be realistic. Yeah.
You got to be realistic.
Exactly. You no, can't be right. holistic without being realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
You can't say, oh, yes, I'm having chest pain and my heart hurt, but yet I don't want to take nothing for it or go to the doctor. If you having a heart attack, that means that you're not getting no oxygen to your big pumper. And your big pumper pumps everything in your body. Mm-hmm. So trying to be holistic at that point is not realistic.
Okay.
Because time is muscle.
Yeah.
You got 90 minutes to get there or you out of here.
Oh, you're out of here.
You're out of here.
So what would make you have to admit a patient to the hospital against their will?
Well, there's something called EMTALA. So it's basically mm-hmm. something where you can't refuse nobody's service. The only time you can do that is if a patient is imminent in wanting to harm themselves or others.
Mm.
So if they homicidal and suicidal, then they get voluntarily, you know, admitted into the hospital. And they have to be seen by somebody like within 72 hours. It's different hours and different things. They call it different names in different states. But I think here in Florida, it's 72 hours.
72 hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did COVID affect you at all?
Yeah. I actually lost my grandfather to COVID.
Oh, man. I'm
sorry. And it's like I was racing against the clock to get there. This is the part right here. So my dad's people also abused me. It's kind of like a cycle thing. Like, I guess once people see that you are already at a disadvantage mm-hmm. and they already see the route you're going, they think that you're going to forever be that way. Mm-hmm. So everybody just decide to do it. I'm going to give you an example. You know how when you was young, and say your friends heard you say a bad word in front of their mama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they watch the mama not say nothing, then your friends gonna start doing it too. Cause they thinking that it's okay cause the mama didn't say nothing. But that's just that type of parenting style. Cause every parent is not like that. You know what I'm saying? So I wanna put that out there like that. But with that happening, so with them abusing me, long story short, it wasn't until like my grandfather got COVID, right? And then nobody was saying anything to me. So I was like, well, what y'all doing? You know, and I didn't really know the extent of everything. But when they told me, I was like, well, I'm coming out now. So I left work and I started driving home. And I asked to speak to the intensivist. Like, that's the ICU doctor.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I straight up asked him. I said, did my grandfather have an anterior wall MI? And he got quiet, and then he was like,
"She knows something."
Exactly. He was like, "Oh, what kind of nurse you say you was?" I say regular. I say regular, and he said, "Well," he said, "we can't go in to actually see, cause that would be the definite. Like they would have to go in and look.
Mm-hmm.
But from looking at the little EKG, the little sticky things people put on you, in certain areas you see certain abnormalities. So." He said, from looking at this, it looked like your grandfather had an anterior wall MI, which, I mean, he should have been dead after that. But COVID exacerbated it, basically.
Exacerbated it?
Yes.
You mean like
made it worse? Okay. Yes. So he already had a whole bunch of other issues going on.
Mm.
So he was on blood thinners too, and procedures that they wanted to do, they couldn't do it because they needed to use more blood thinners and they couldn't. If they would have cut him, you're just going to bleed out, basically.
Okay.
So anyway, long story short, to get to the abuse and the family part, it's like the hallmark of everything for anybody who has been abused or been through something, this is the hallmark for that. If you gain knowledge and you don't quit and you don't give up, them people will need you. They got to spend a block on you. So 5 days, my grandfather on a vent.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody making no decisions. You know why? Because there's no knowledge. Where's your knowledge?
Yeah.
At that point, where's your knowledge? So now, guess who it is? Little grade F school. You could just talk to the doctor then. So I'm talking to him, and I asked him a question. He said, what's on you? Your grandfather need dialysis. I say, I understand that. I say, well, you give me the numbers and tell me everything that he has going on, and I'll make the decision on what you should do. He told me all my grandfather, blood pressure, everything was stable. So you know what I told him? Do dialysis. He said, okay, but I'm just letting you know that it could be a strain on the heart and his heart could stop. That's fine. He already a DNR. I don't want him to suffer. Y'all don't need to be pumping on his chest because you crack his ribs. You got a 15 to 20% chance of living after that anyway.
Yeah.
But long story short, I told him, put the consult in for the kidney doctor, get him in there and do the dialysis. So then this is the part. When I spoke to my aunt, she was like, oh, my God, when I talked to everybody else, I just was laughing. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe you just told the doctor what to do. I said, no, I didn't tell him what to do. We had a conversation. It was a dialogue between two medical professionals.
Yeah. Medical professionals.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Did you get COVID? You personally?
I don't even know if I got COVID. I mean, really? That, I mean, it was out of sight, out of mind to me, but I was the type of person that never took my respirator off. Like the special mask?
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't trust people like that.
Did you get vaccinated?
I had no choice to get the money for what I'm doing now, but when I transition, I don't even have to worry about all that no more, but I did because it was mandatory.
Really? They made it mandatory?
Yes. Like, I couldn't work at a lot of hospitals without the vaccine. Wow. And the booster. Like, just in Jersey, I had to have both COVID vaccines and the booster to work there.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yep.
But didn't them nurses... Didn't they have some nurses that, like, walked off? Or no.
They did.
Got fired.
Some, well, a lot of them resigned. They left. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they basically told them, you know, this is what we're putting into play, and if you don't do it, then you're basically not adhering to their policy. You know, mm-hmm. a policy that they developed overnight. But, yeah. I mean, once they put it in, it's there. It's established.
Yeah.
That's why having your own business is a wonderful thing. But being that it was their institution, whatever they wanted to put in, you had to adhere to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, the ones that didn't do it, they either quit or, yeah, they got terminated.
Wow. Sayonara.
Yeah.
So how did you encounter injustice, discrimination, racism, bullying, violence, jealousy, all being in a nursing field? Sound like a drama show.
It is. And people just think that we're there. It should be reality TV. But because of HIPAA and you can't know people, you know, business and stuff, you will see a lot. You know, and it's mainly because of money.
Mm-hmm.
We come in, these companies paying us way more money than they're paying their staff nurses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the issue. The issue is she getting more money than me. So then that's where the bullying come into play. And then along with the bullying, if somebody was already racist, they just racist. But they're going to show it more because it's on top of the fact that you feel some type of way because I'm getting more money than you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually posted something on my social media about I left a hospital, right? I think I left the hospital in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022, a girl sent me a video of the nurses. I think it took 8 nurses to staff that unit. On that video, it's at least 6 nurses in that break room with 2 CNAs. So who watching the patients?
And guess what?
They weren't chilling. They were looking at me.
Looking at you on social media?
Yeah, and discussing me. So she recorded them and then she sent it to me.
Holy snap.
Yeah.
Damn, that is some drama.
It is.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, I mean.
Are you still a nurse now?
I'm still a nurse.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a nurse in a lot of states. So, you can have something called a compact license, which you don't have to keep getting endorsed, basically meaning going through a whole process, like it's a whole compact. So, you can move throughout all of those states without have to having all these separate licenses.
Okay.
Some states not like that. Like, I had to get a separate license for Minnesota, a separate license for Cali, but I can go to these states and work as a nurse. I just had to obtain their license.
Okay.
Or work in a compact.
Okay.
Where you don't have to worry about it. If it's in a compact, I just go to the job like regular.
Yeah. Okay.
With one license.
One license. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That's some jewels right there. So when did you transition to the naked author?
I've been naked.
You've been naked? Really?
Yeah. I mean, and naked in the sense of, you know, even when I was being abused and had to go through everything I was going through,
mm-hmm.
I really still felt like these people don't know me. Like, I'm not changing for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So I always maintained that level of integrity to be myself. Whatever it was that I wanted to do, I didn't care about the opinion or that somebody else was afraid to do it. I still did it, and I did it big. So the naked part comes from, like, just being genuine and being yourself. Not so much in the sense of
showing your ass.
Yeah, okay. Basically being physically naked.
Okay, okay.
So that's where the naked author came from. And then, duh, it's ghetto because like I'm a ghetto professional. I mean, how could you take that away? I just told you my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it all can't come away. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like most patients and most people at hospitals, I got, you know, they will come and get me. Sonya, I can't deal with them. You just go in there. But they wouldn't be themselves. They wanted to just, yes, and this and that. Look, bro, what's the problem? You know, they respected that more than they feeling like somebody faking with them. And that's a lot of responses that I got from a lot of patients. They don't really care. You really care. But then now I'm asking how you know. I know. Because I could tell, you know, you hear, you that they just walk in, they just walk out. You know, different things they say, basically.
Yeah.
So, but the naked author, but this is the thing. In that profession, I really can't be the naked author. The naked author, you know, is not acceptable because she too real.
So she too real.
Yeah, in stuff that's already established, you got to be sociably desirable. And that hurt me because I got to keep it G.
Yeah.
I don't care about your feelings.
You're going to give it to them how it is.
I would want somebody to do it to me. Yeah, that's the only thing that produced change.
No, facts.
They could look it up. It's written.
So what's your purpose as an author?
My purpose as an author is basically, you know, just to tell my story and just have people understand, like, it's probably something you went through and you ain't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
So you reading that like, oh, she could, because I have tons of inbox messages like, that part right there helped me. I didn't even know this. I didn't even know how to do this like this, because some people don't never go nowhere.
Yeah.
They just contain and stuck in one area. And like I said, to go back to the abuse, I'm not even mad at these people, because that go back to piggyback off what you said about like the psychology and my education and stuff. When you learn and you know better, sometimes that help you not be in your feelings about a lot of behaviors that people did, if that makes sense. So don't get me wrong, I still feel some type of way about them.
Yeah.
But it's not to the point to where I hate them. You know, or I don't wish best for them, because I do. I just realized that they were limited in their education. They were limited in their knowledge. They were limited in their understanding. So all they could do and respond to is based off of that. Because some of them never been anywhere.
Yeah.
So how could you expect to get any different results or anything new when nothing new is coming in?
No, facts. You ain't bringing nothing new into your database.
Exactly. So, I mean... But I'm a forever be the naked author, though.
Okay. All right. We like that.
Yeah. And then it's like DNA. So.
Yeah.
DNA is actually our genetic makeup. Facts. So it's who you are.
Yeah.
So not only the long word is the naked author, the short word is DNA.
Okay.
So
it still go together. Some bars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I got them bars too now. I was trying to see if somebody wanted to sign it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if they're ready for me in the industry either, because I'm a little too real for them too.
You too real?
I don't know.
I'm going to quote something from your book that I read, right? You said, a person that sees your strength and has the power to utilize your abilities but neglects your skills by not passing them on to be useful to someone else is a person that pride has hindered great character. So what were you experiencing that brought about that statement?
What I just said, like when I thought about those situations with my aunts and them not being able to make a decision on the medical side, but then yet these same people, like, you abused me. You made me feel like as if I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Or because I had a little issue with my behavior because of traumatic things that happened in my life, y'all just made me, y'all like just beat me down to death. Like I just was a nothing, you know? So when I thought about those things that I don't work with certain people, it's like psychologically, most of our major thinking happens right here in our, we have lobes. So this lobe in the front is your frontal lobe.
Frontal lobe, okay.
So in the frontal lobe is the prefrontal cortex. So in that area, it's a higher level of thinking, like all your high level rational, all that logics, everything. So what we found in research is pride, anger, love, lust, all these things are emotions. So they block your ability to being able to think. So if you're prideful, which sometimes that come along with jealousy, envy, and hate,
yeah,
then it's blocking your vision. It's blocking your sight. So if this is going on with the pride being there, so if the pride is there, how are you able to develop a skill?
Facts. Pay attention, y'all. Pay attention.
You can't develop the skill. And even if you develop the skill, guess what? It's going to be premature. It ain't going to be sharp, and it ain't going to be conditioned because your pride was there.
Ain't going to be sharp. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what makes a person become institutionalized?
You know, that institutional, you know what's so funny about that? Mm-hmm. When people hear the word institution, right, they think of a building, like a school, a prison, post office, hospital, mm-hmm. because that's where we work. We work in institutions.
Yeah.
But institutions start in the mind.
Mm.
So if a person's mind is debilitated, then they're institutionalized. Which IN is the prefix meaning inward. So it's internal.
Damn. Girl dropping science here.
Okay. Exactly.
I like that. All right.
The world got to change, man. We need a revolution.
No, you're right about that. I definitely agree with you.
And a lot of it is because of social media. You don't know what's real and what's fake.
Yes.
So that's an institution.
So I saw you had up a post, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus natural versus surgery.
Right.
You know, because just like what you said, we don't know what's real, what's fake.
Right.
So why you think a man can't just like you how you are?
Because first of all, let's go there.
Mm-hmm. Let's go there.
A man, first of all, you have to be talking about what type of man you dealing with. Because if you dealing with a man that lack growing up in a two-parent home with a role model there, mm-hmm. it's sometimes that they don't pick up on certain things that they need to learn as far as their masculinity in being a man. Mm. So now you're only looking at feminine things. That's why, you know, beep, 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 you be like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the reason why is because all he ever modeled is what a woman showed him. So, I'm going to make it make sense. So now it's like your mindset is like you're limited in understanding as far as how to even deal with a woman because you wasn't able to see it. I mean, your mama can tell you, but if that person is not there to see Colton and the man helping or protecting, you know, these different kind of things, then you're left with your own thoughts. Let's go back there. Yeah. And I just told you it's dangerous to be left with your own thoughts because where thoughts go, behavior follow. So anyway, long story short, sometimes men are not, they go through crisis like women,
mm-hmm.
like midlife crisis, or they have identity crisis, or just trying to figure out who they are in the world too. So most of the time, men date for image. And then the way social media, the way social media and everything is set up, it's like a man feel like if he don't have a perfectly framed woman, he ain't that man. He ain't that, you know, ninja. That's the word.
So do you think that's why women go get the BBLs?
I mean, well, some women.
Mm-hmm.
And then some women see it as monetary, you know. And then some women see it as marketing because they feel like if I don't look good on camera, then I can't sell. Like, that's like wanting to buy a house. Don't you want to get the house that's on the corner, but you want to clean up the curve?
Okay.
Because when you pull up to the curve is everything. It's the curve side. Right, realtor, yes.
The curve.
Yes.
We got so a realtor.
Grass
got
to be clean.
Yeah.
Everything got to be nice because it's right on the curve. It's appealing.
Mm.
It's the same mental state that a man carries when he don't know himself. Or he don't have no identity. So if he in a stage of his life where he feel like I want to be the man,
mm-hmm.
then I need a woman with an image. And I need her to be fine. And I don't need her to be flawed. And then because you didn't have that exposure of masculinity to watch two people work together, then guess what? You're going to be left with your own thoughts. And I already told you they're dangerous.
Damn. Okay. She's breaking it down. I don't know. Me personally, I look at the mindset. Right, because how we was talking off camera, the body can't really do nothing for you.
And that's
you
know what I'm real. Saying?
Like, personally.
Right.
So her mind has to be there because that's what's going to assist you during those hard times. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
But when do he find that out? You see what I'm saying? It usually be too late.
I wouldn't say too late. I think I was, how old was I? Well, okay. Yeah, it was too late because she did leave me. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was too late. I was about like 33.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, you know, because I didn't see my dad handling things like financially and things like that. So I'm not gonna lie, when I was in a relationship, I wasn't, you know, I was like, I only got $100.
Right.
You know, I wasn't, because I didn't see it.
Right.
You know, I saw my mom take care of everything.
Exactly.
You know, so that's so true.
And then another thing is, men expect for you to age gracefully, but have churn for them too. Like, I want that baby, but guess what? You gotta keep that same body though, so I could still be feeling you or be intimate, you know, with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I like stretch marks though.
I like stretch marks too. I got them, baby. Stretch marks. You are great.
She said, "I got them, baby."
Yeah. Ain't nothing but a little strain and a little stretching.
You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, because nowadays, I don't know. I don't like that perfect-ish. It's just, no. I like a little cellulite.
Exactly. But then I be feeling like with anything in the world, if you're going to have something, mm-hmm. you need to know how to use it.
True that.
You just walking around, nice frame, but then what?
Yeah. Can't get on top, you know, don't know what to do with that thing.
Exactly. You know, and then, you know, sometimes you can buy brand new stuff that's defaulted. It's broke before you get it.
She said, it's broke before you get it.
Yeah, it's broke before you get it.
So why do you consider yourself a stubborn survivor?
Jesus. Lord, yeah, I called you. Because I am. It's that resistance part. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's something that I need to work on. I'm going to admit to that. Simply because.
Okay. Accountability. We
yes,
like that.
Yes. With the big A, not the little one. Okay. It's the first letter of the alphabet. Anyway.
Yes.
It's like when you grow up like I grew up, doing everything, making decisions, watching people mess over you, mm-hmm. learning patterns, because I know patterns and behavior. So even when people think they're lying to me, I know you're lying.
Really?
Yes. Wow. I do. Okay. But, you know,
intuition is that strong.
Yes. Patterns, behaviors, paralinguistics, tone of voice. I'm your eyes. I'm looking at all that. Yeah. So with, you know, so growing up like that and then learning all these different things, so sometimes mm-hmm. that behavior is the same. It's just changing people. People change. But that behavior is going to be, I know it's coming. Like people who try to manipulate you.
Yeah.
Or people who beg it as broke and you know you're never going to get your money back because they broke.
But that's the easy way to get rid of them.
Yeah, when you can. So anyway, yeah. The stubborn part comes into play because it's like, it's a lot of things that I could just let go and find a better way. And mm-hmm. I know the better way. But it's that fighting, like, oh, I'm not ready yet, tough type
yeah.
shit, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't want to be like that, but it's like my exterior because mm-hmm. of life and people, because people will hurt you, like yeah. because they hurt, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like.
Hurt people.
Yeah. And it's like that because of the people. Like, it's just, and it's hard because then it's like, you don't want to be too vulnerable and you don't want to seem like as if you too naive.
Yeah.
Because then it's predators out there.
No, yeah.
And they only looking at one thing, to benefit and advantage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So being that I know these type of things, that stubborn survivor can kind of help me and hurt me. Because I feel like a lot of times it hindered me more than helped me though.
Okay. Well, at least you're aware of it.
Yeah.
Right? So what are some tips you can give for healing?
Even though I know this is going to be the hardest thing and the hardest pill to swallow, but this is going to be the realest thing somebody ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to surround yourself with people that you could trust. Because you don't have all the strengths. Other people have them.
No, that's true.
So if you can find them people that genuinely is considerate of you and will accept you for who you are, but mm-hmm. yet willing to correct you and not afraid.
Yes.
Then guess what? That's one step to heal.
Okay.
Because then you could go back and do an introspection of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or retro, whichever one.
Yeah.
You know, and you could reflect like, oh, maybe I could have did such and such like that. Or it could have been handled better, you know, coming from somebody you love, because you know they're telling you from a genuine place.
Yeah.
They're not telling you this because they're trying to hurt you.
Yeah.
And the only way for you to know that is for you to be with that person. So once again, that y'all learning the patterns, the communications, and the language of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard. That's why it's not. That's why people can't heal. That's why they still hurt. Because they can't trust nobody.
No, facts. You got to learn to trust yourself.
That's number one.
Yeah.
That's, you got to learn. You And you know when you trust yourself. Because you know why? You will be able to be vulnerable enough to give it to somebody else. But correct. Only the person with the capacity that could help you heal.
Yeah. So why shouldn't you mistreat people that mistreated you?
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to keep it all the way G because people from home listening, I guess they're going to be listening too. Listen, I ain't roll like that. Me?
You was tit for tat?
It was worse than that. It was like arson type mindset.
What?
And it was like really bad. Like, and then, you know, like I said, sports saved me because if it wasn't for that,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about wanting to be like, assassin. That's crazy, but I mean, because of my life, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want people to think, oh, she just want to kill people. That's not the case. But at that time, it's like, so then I started learning, like, being in the street.
Yeah.
You know, I just started learning, like, oh, if you're going to play with me, now I'm going to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to learn these patterns and everything that you did. I'm coming for you. But in the end, it don't help you.
Yeah.
Because mentally, you still gonna have to deal with whatever it was, you know, that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then my deed was, I did. Like, so however they want to put that, it's levels to it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, sometimes I had to think, like, you know what made me really feel bad? I had one girl, I like literally stomped her to death. And then it was like,
to death.
Like, yeah, just constantly kept stomping her with my foot in her head.
Did she do something to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but the thing about it is, you know, she ended up writing me later on Facebook. And what? I told my homegirl, I say, man, she done wrote me this long pair. I kind of feel bad.
You felt bad?
Yes, because when she was telling me all the things,
mm-hmm.
we both had rough lives.
Mm.
So it's like, dang, I wish I wouldn't even stomped her in the head like that because she wanted to tell me something then. We just ain't know how to communicate with each other because we both of us ain't have no guidance.
Damn. Okay, you got some wisdom.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
I mean, you know, and I end up, I don't apologize a lot. I'm very unapologetic, but but I did apologize to her. And then she just was telling me. Yeah, she was telling me how she admired me. And I was kind of shocked because I was like, really whamming her. Like,
wham, wham.
Yup.
Damn. So did you turn your brand into a business?
I did. Everything is a business.
Okay. We like that. Everything is a business.
Your conversation is a corporation.
Your conversation is a corporation.
It better be.
Yeah. No, you're right.
At this point, because whether they want to admit it or not, we're in a recession.
Yo, who you telling? Eggs is higher than a mug.
So, yeah, if you might as well brand everything.
Okay.
And be true about doing it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Don't be slack with it. And if you know you slack with it and you got to deal with other people, don't even deal with it.
Yeah.
Because you cannot expect people to retaliate if you're going to give half whatever.
No,
it got to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
And it got to be well thought out, you know?
Okay. No,
and creative.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Creative. Yes. So true. So how much did it cost you to make these books?
Well, I just self-published them through Amazon.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I just created a KDP account
mm-hmm.
and just uploaded them.
Okay.
But I had a cover design. All these designs, I came up with the idea and just had somebody to create them. And then I had the editor to do the book, and we just uploaded it, and then Amazon prints them.
Wow. Okay.
I had put it on a lot of other platforms, too. But, uh-huh. you know, people learn loopholes.
Yeah.
So when I was doing the PDF file instead of doing Audible, see, those type of businesses who do those type of services mm-hmm. are better because they found somebody to go in and make sure you can't do all those different loopholes mm. as much as possible. So anyway, when I was putting it on different things like a PDF,
uh-huh.
one person was just able to print it and give it to everybody. So then you lose out on money. It's just like burning somebody CDs or, you know, different things like that.
Okay.
So now I just left it there
because
you got to go there and purchase it.
Okay.
I don't put it on nothing else.
So you have ebooks?
Ebooks is, yeah, they can do books through Kindle.
Okay.
If they have Kindle, but I didn't do no other, other softwares that promote books, like, you know, people like Barnes and, you know, different things like that in Audible.
Okay.
But I do want to do my audio, but I want it to be my voice.
Oh, yeah. No, that's smart. Kind of like 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you market the books?
I do little passages. I talk about some things.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people I talked about them in that book too, and they should go back so I can see what I said about you.
Okay.
So and then you know just real life situations, like the nursing situation. Mm-hmm. Even though I posted it, I made the video with my book just to let them know, look, this really happened.
Yeah.
Like, these people did this to me, and this happened, but I also put it in my book. So it's meant to be inspiring,
mm-hmm.
so people can really know what they're getting themselves into, because I don't want you to get no watered-down version of thinking, you know, because a lot of nurses right now have unrealistic expectations of what they're getting into, because they thinking about the money.
Yeah.
But you gonna, if you ain't tough enough, you're going to cry.
Mm. You're going to break.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some great areas when becoming an author?
Life. Because it's like, you still got to deal with everything. You still got to deal with everything going on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then your thoughts don't never, sometimes they don't never stop. So that's where you have to find effective coping skills to kind of help you so you can be able to stay focused on it. Because it's a lot of distractions out here.
Mm-hmm.
People coming for you, they don't even know what you got going on. Yeah. You're trying to stay focused, but then yet people own internal flesh like, oh, but I need to check you about this or that, you know? And then you trying to maintain your peace, but you got to be aggressive in pursuing to keep your peace, mm-hmm. because you can't control other people. So they're going to come to you with stuff.
No, facts.
So it's like, with all of that going on, so say somebody come in and serve my peace. Now you done set me back, even if I wanted to write another chapter in my book, because now I got to get myself back together, because mm-hmm. my equilibrium is off. I'm unbalanced right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like, I wanted to write some more pages of my book, you know, from coming from another job, but being on the road, traveling, driving 17 hours, I was tired.
17 hours?
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
So I didn't get a chance to do any of it for the last one that I'm working on now about my life,
mm-hmm.
but I plan on it. But it's like, with so many different forces and stimuli hitting you every day,
mm-hmm.
you got to be aggressive about getting it done.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you get paid as an author?
Well, Amazon pay every 60 days.
Okay.
So you're able to go in, and I like the software. Like, some people, they don't like, you know, everybody, everything has its pros and cons. So you could go in and look at your reports. You can look at them monthly, daily, and this and that. So every 60 days, the money just go in my account from the sales.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually was at one hospital, one doctor, she brought all my books.
Wow.
Yep. She texts me and say, I brought them all. And I try to keep them to 100 pages because we got a lot going on in life.
Yeah.
So I try to pack it up, make it juicy,
mm-hmm.
and just, like, try to make it a one-day read.
Okay, a one-day read.
Maybe one, maybe four. Okay. But mostly not longer than a week for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that means everything tit for tat, I give you a little suspense, but then it's like, I got to hit you hard, too.
Yeah.
And then I got to come back and play with you. Play with your mind.
So what's next for you?
I mean, I'm trying to actually transition out of nursing right now.
Really?
Yeah, I actually have two businesses, so.
Two businesses?
Yes, two LLCs, active.
Okay.
So I have Snow 50 Shades of Flavor, which
I'm. Snow
50 Shades of Flavor. So it's going to be shaved ice. And then just trying to bring the New Orleans culture to South Florida. Like the real, nothing watered down.
Okay.
The real taste, real vibe, real everything that we offer. Southern hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the Rest of Recovery. So when girls have surgery, it's still the nursing part in me. Like, somebody dying alone in COVID too. COVID drove me, girls dying by themselves, not mm-hmm. having the knowledge after having some type of surgery, plastic surgery or something. I created Rest of Recovery.
Okay.
So I don't really have a recovery house, but I'm a recovery nurse. So basically, you know, I will come to you and help recover you. Just to make sure you don't develop no infections, make sure you're not hemorrhaging, make sure you're eating the right things, that you don't be nauseated, and walking you through everything, like explaining to you what's normal and what's not.
You got to do all of that to get a BBL?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's life or death, baby.
Like, is it that serious? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, well, men should start accepting women as themselves and stop playing with them. Like, you know, or say what it is. Say what you mean and mean what you say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you want a dime that you consider a dime,
you want a dime.
Yeah, then you go be with that. Don't play with me if you know this is not what you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want a girl with a little extra pancake over here with a little syrup, and you know you want everything flat, like a flat tie, or some universal rims on the, you know what I'm saying, on some 28s,
yeah,
then guess what? You go do that. Don't.
You know what? It's so true. I'm not even going to lie. I think us as men, we do have to understand that, because as I was thinking, doing my self-reflection, I'm like, damn, I did want to try out a ting, but it doesn't mean I want to wife the ting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I always wanted to kind of mess around with a 6 footer or 5'10er, you
right,
know?
Right.
But then I'm like, damn, she really feeling me. I was just trying to try it out.
Right. Well, say that then.
Yeah.
Say that off the muscle. Like, say it out your mouth. We respect that more.
Yeah.
So we can know how to move.
No, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she blocked me.
Yeah, exactly. And guess what? For some all or nothing women,
yeah,
it's dangerous,
yeah,
for you to do that too. So you're gonna have to keep it on you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you do really have to know what you want. And through those experiences, I realized, like, okay, I think I need a woman that's, because we was coming from Target one time, mm-hmm, and she slapped me on my booty.
Right.
And that hurt. I was like, yo, what the hell wrong with you? Like, I'm the man in it. You know what I'm, and I'm like, no, I think I need my woman to be, you know, short like me or a little shorter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think I could, you know, rocks with the Amazon.
Right.
You know, but
and,
no, you're
and,
so,
and that's all a part of preference. If yeah, you have that type of preference, that makes the situation better. Because don't go out there, you know, saying that you want this and you want that. And then after dating them, because people don't date no more. But anyway, you know, being there, getting to learn this person, and you yeah, see it's something that you don't want, that's like men wanting perfect women. But as women, we're natural nurturers, and we don't want to naturally hurt people. We don't. Because mm-hmm, we're mothers. We have mother instincts.
Yeah.
So your feet stink. You might have a little doodle streak in your briefs. We tolerate that and just wash it for you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Versus them, on the other hand, your ass flat, I don't want you. You see what I'm saying? It ain't no in between with them. It's like, just yeah, throw you away. But yet we accepted you with your funky feet. And we didn't tell you, you know?
Yeah,
and we
yeah,
helped
yeah,
you. We helped you with it in a nice way.
Yeah.
And we don't, you know, so a lot of time we don't get no credit for that either, you know, and helping grow a lot of men.
No, you're right. Yeah.
We don't get no credit for that. It's like, oh, I'm going to just throw her away because I don't like her toe. Or I don't like her. I had one dude tell me he didn't like my hands because I had working hands. So I guess he like women that don't work, that always get their nails done. So I'm trying to figure out how that equation go.
Yeah.
Because where you getting the money from? You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Get that $40, like Ball say. Like Ball Green say, you can get that $40. But
this
man,
was so great. This was so lovely. I'm so glad you came and pulled up.
Thank you.
You know, you definitely dropped some jewels.
Yeah.
But let everybody know where they can find you at.
You can find me around the world. No, I'm just laying.
All right. All around
You can find me on IG at DA Naked Author altogether. And I'm on Facebook too, but I was kind of disguised. But that's my main platform that I'm using right now, D Naked Author. That's what I'm branding. So most of my platforms say The Naked Author. Twitter is The Naked Author.
Okay.
Snapchat, I think. Oh, no, it's Sonya B. Don't worry about Snap so much. But Twitter is Cajun Spice BSNRN. I left that to be petty because I wanted to remind the nurses that were talking about me that they were talking about Cajun Spice BSNRN, the R with the big R, not the little one.
With the big R.
Exactly. So basically, IG and TikTok. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
Okay, TikTok. Yes, you got to get that TikTok.
And then Twitter, too, because sometimes I have stuff coming off the dome that could probably help you for the date. So it's D Naked Author.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, thank you once again for coming through.
You're
this
welcome.
Has been so great.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You already know what it is, man. It's your boy, Mr. Williams. I Talk Gray, and we out of here.
Yeah.